Miriam.
Marco.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Please join me in saying the Anabakos. Anabakos. Gedula Chimincha. Tati. Gimel Yutat Sadi Kabel Rinat Amcha Sad Benu Taharein No Ra Ufre Shayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dor Shechudcha Giva Shamrem Nun Gimel Dalet Yud Kaf Shin, the letters of the month of Nisan, the Dalet that created the planet Ma'adim, the planet Mars, the planet of war, the planet of conflict, the planet of battles, and the He that created the constellation Taleh, the lamb or the ram. Together, the Dalet and the Hay have a gematria of 9, which connects to this Sephirah of Yesod in the direct light and in the Sephirah of Chachma in the returning light. Barchem Tacharem Ratame Sidkatha Dami Gamlem Betetresh Saditav Kimu Kasim Kadosh Birov Tuvcha Nael Adata Ketkuf Bet Tet Nunayan Yachid Gea Lamcha Pene Zofre Kiddushata Yud Gimelamed Pei Zayin Kuf Shabbatenu Kabel Ushma Tziakatenu Yodea Talumot Shin Kufav Tzadiyuta. We have brought the energy of creation into our space. We're now going to separate between the right column energy and the left column energy of that creation. And we will use the 13 attributes of mercy to accomplish this. Adonai Yohei Wahei. Adonai Yohei Wahei. El Rahum Bechalo. Erech apayim v'rav chesed v'emet Notzer chesed l'alafim Nosea won v'afesha v'chata'a v'nakei. So we are going to now connect to the energy of the year of the goat, the year 5777, by studying two verses. The first of the verses is Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 52. We will start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkin te bitilu urchimu urchilu urchilu urchimu. V'yachta l'shem yud hei b'vav hei. V'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael. Limud Torah mitzvah. Lasok Torah mitzvah. V'yihi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu p'nenei aleinu ma'aseh yadeinu p'nenehu. Tzot saduni katzibor oyevai chinam. When we take the first letters of these words, we're able to parse them into three Hebrew words. Tzatz ki ach, which translates as appear like brothers. When we take the final letters of these words, we're able to permute them into two Hebrew words, dir yam. Translation is a sea of tenants. The second verse that we will study is Joshua chapter 23, verse 8. In this verse, the name of the year, Tashin Ayin Zion, is concealed, but the letters are separated by seven letters each. Kim ba Adonai yo hei wahei. Eloheichem tadebaku kasher asitem ad hayom hazeh.
Hana.
We're now going to connect to the year 5776, the year of the pause. And there are two verses in that that connect to that year as well. The first of those verses that we will study is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 34. Rak ha-kohanim ha-yu limat v'lo yachlu lehavshit et kol ha-olot v'yechaskum acheichem ha-levim ad kelo tam lacha V'yad yitkadshu ha-kohanim ki ha-livim yishrei levav le-yitkadesh me-ha-kohanim. This verse has 25 words. When we take the first letter of each word, we're able to permute it into eight names of God. Adonai Yohewahe La la hey, wa wa wa, yo la yo, ala me, hey hey hey, aka a, reka ha. The second verse that we study for connecting to 5776, the year of the pause, is Isaiah chapter 26, verse 4. Bidhu ba Adonai. Yo he wa he ade ad kibia yo he Adonai yo he wa he tzur olamim. We're now going to study three verses that connect to the year 5775. The year where death is swallowed up forever. The first of the verses is Job chapter 7, verse 19. Kama lo ishem imeni, lo tarpeni avili ruki. Next is 1 Samuel chapter 23, verse 23. Kuru udu. Mikol ha-machavoiya, asher yitchabei sham v'shavtem, elai el nachom, v'halachti itchem, v'chayayim yeshno, v'aretz v'chipasti, oto b'kol alfei Yehuda. And the third verse is also from Job. It is chapter 20, verse 7. Tegelo lanetzach yoved roav yomru ayo. And we're now to the year 5774, the year of peace in the Middle East. And there's only one verse that connects to that energy, which is 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10. Wisam timakom leami Yisrael untati vishakam tahta vilo yirgaz od vilo yosifu bene avla leanoto ka asher barishona. We're now going to read a verse from the Zohar that connects to the energy of certainty. It's from Parashat Yitro, Pasuk 29. Rabbi Abba Amar Bechama Atar Tane Nan Bekucha Berichu Koma Diavet Le'ela Witata Kolaihu Kishot Piovada Dikshot Vele'la Mila Bialma Divaye Barnash Vidahya Leleya Mineya Ulan Haka Beya Kalana Yehakulu Ovada Ikshotinun Wikola Itzterich Bialma. We're now going to scan the 72 names of God. And the 72 names from the Tzaddikim. And the names of the Tzaddikim who left this day, the 11th day of Nisan, Rabbi Shlomo Zalman Lipschitz, Rabbi Bezalel HaKohen of Vilna. It's actually the birthday of the Chabad Rebbe, Rabbi Schneerson. He is the seventh of the Chabad Rebbes. And it's my understanding he will be the last. Rabbi Moshe ben Nachman, known as the Ramban, a very famous Kabbalist. And Rabbi Yeshaya Horowitz, also a famous Kabbalist. He's the author of the two Luchot of Habrit, Shnei Luchot Habrit, which would be translated as the two tablets of the covenant. And the eighth verse of the Ana B'Koach we say in a whisper. Today's class is our continuation of our advanced reincarnation class. You can find that on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix, row 11, the second column from the left. When you open up that page, scroll down to class 7 and open up the link that says the handout. It says class 7, handout number 10, and it's starting with chapter 5. Last week we completed chapter 4.
Sorry, what was it again?
Where are you on the Revealed Wisdom?
On the past classes? In the event recording?
No, it's not on the event recordings. Go to the Revealed Wisdom link.
Right.
And the Revealed Wisdom link, then scroll down till you see the green and white lines, the matrix.
Yeah.
Then scroll to row 11. And it's the second column from the left. It says Advanced Reincarnation.
Okay.
And when you open that up, scroll down to where it says Class 7. And we will start with that.
Thank you.
And
but
we're
that's class 15 on the page, right?
That's correct.
Okay.
And you can scroll down about a quarter of an inch, and we'll start where it says Reincarnation of Bilam and Others.
Okay.
This week is the Parashah Balak, and obviously it's not Balak, but it's when we first did this class, it was Parashah Balak. And the other nation, the prophet Balaam, makes a significant contribution both to the story and to the essence of the Parashah. Since many people have not read this email yet, I have included the information exactly as it is written in the email for the Parashah. I am sure even if you have read it, this will reinforce the teachings for you and help to break the klipot that are keeping you from realizing all aspects of this wisdom. The Ari, Rabbi Isaac Luria, teaches in his Sharei Gilgulim, The Gates of Reincarnation, the following. It is difficult to understand the request to die the death of the righteous when Bilam was killed according to the Midrash in a duel of people who had the knowledge of mind over matter, and followed Bilam by flying after him like a bird, not like an airplane. This kind of death cannot be considered a death of the righteous, even though it is a miracle unto itself. The Zohar tells us that Bilam's death was a death of impurity. When Pinchas killed Bilam, he used a sword that had on it the image of a snake, a symbol of idol worship, to ensure that Bilam did not die the death of the righteous. So why would Bilam, speaking with words the Creator put in his mouth, ask to die the death of the righteous, and then not die the death of the righteous? The Ari explains that Bilam did not die the death of the righteous in this incarnation as Bilam. Yet he eventually died the death of the righteous in another incarnation. And the Ari explains the chain of souls related to Bilam as follows. The Ari himself says that the fact that people can be reincarnated into inanimate objects can be seen with the soul of Bilam. The soul of Bilam was first incarnated as Lavan Ha'arami, the father-in-law of Jacob, who was a negative person. Next came the incarnation as Bilam the prophet, who had the power to curse the Israelites. Then the Ari explains Bilam's soul was reincarnated as a rock because Bilam had used his mouth negatively, and as a stone he could not speak. As a stone he could contemplate the why of this incarnation. The soul of Bilam's next incarnation after that was as Nabal HaKarmelite, a wealthy man who lived in the time of King David. And in this incarnation, Bilam's soul was given an opportunity to complete its tikkun, or its correction, in this case of evil speech. According to the Book of Prophets, King David, seemingly out of the blue, sent a group of soldiers to Nabal the HaKarmali with a request. King David said, "Tell Nabal that when his people were traveling with their herds, I and my soldiers protected him. And because of this protection, I now ask that Nabal provide us with food and drink so we can sustain ourselves." The Ari reminds us that there were many other people of whom King David could have made this request, but he sent his messengers to Nabal. What did Nabal do once he received King David's request? Nabal denied his request. Although he knew King David, he said, "Who is David? Who is this son of Ishai? There is no way I'm going to help him." Abigail, Nabal's wife, overheard this conversation and realized that her husband was making a terrible mistake. Without telling him, she ran after the soldiers and stopped them, giving them food and drink, and promising more to King David. But she was too late. Shortly after denying King David's request, Nabal died. According to the phrase in the Book of Prophets, his heart died within him. The Ari explains that Nabal was an elevated soul whose tikkun process had begun much earlier. First in this soul's incarnation as Lavan, and then as Bilam. When Pinchas killed Bilam, he was actually assisting in the correction of Bilam's soul. The Ari says that Bilam was then reincarnated into a stone, which could not speak, to give Bilam's soul the opportunity to begin the correction of his evil mouth. This would make it possible for Bilam's soul to reincarnate as Nabal HaKarmali. His incarnation as Nabal HaKarmali was the first time since incarnating as a stone that Bilam's soul took human form. And as part of this process of correction, King David was not simply sending his soldiers to some random person. King David knew that Nabal had incarnated to correct the evil speech of Bilam. So he sent messengers to give Bilam, Nabal, a chance to purify his mouth. But unfortunately, Nabal still was unable to control his tongue. But what happened next? The Ari says that Nabal had a vision of his spiritual process, in which everything was suddenly revealed to him. Nabal realized that he was the incarnation of Lavan and Bilam. He also realized that because he had used his mouth negatively, he had been reincarnated into a stone, and that now, with the help of King David, he had been given a chance to correct his evil speech, but he had failed. He was so upset that he had missed the opportunity for his tikkun, that his heart died within him. And as the Book of Prophets says, he made himself into a stone. When we look at this story literally, Nabal does not seem like a very good person. But when we take a step back, we begin to see the greatness of his soul. The Ari tells us he was a great soul in Lavan, and also in Bilam, as well as in the stone, and then in Nabal. And after falling spiritually by speaking negatively of King David, Nabal realized what he had done and took the next step in his correction. Although Nabal had not yet completed that correction, the Ari tells us that Nabal died Moti Sharim, the death of the righteous, fulfilling the prophecy of Bilam. The Ari tells us that after Nabal, the next incarnation of Bilam's soul was as Barzillai HaGiladi. As he was dying on his deathbed, King David told his son, King Solomon, "But show kindness to the sons of Barzillai HaGiladi, and let them be those that eat at your table." Why? Barzillai HaGiladi had sustained King David and his soldiers, where Nabal had not. But this was not the ultimate reason. The Ari reveals that King David knew that Barzillai HaGiladi was actually the incarnation of the soul of Nabal, and of Levan, and of Bilam. And that when his soul died, and that what this soul did not correct in its incarnation as Nabal, it would continue to work on during the incarnation of Barzillai. Barzillai HaGiladi's death was also the death of the righteous. And by the time Bilam's soul was incarnated into the son of Barzillai HaGiladi, he was completely corrected. My commentary on this, my own writing. The Torah tells us that King David married the Nabal's widow, Abigail. Do you think she is the cause of his death? This is not the place to discuss it. An aggressive student will use the techniques described in the Sharai Gilgulim to determine what was his tone and how it related to King David. The technique is to take the letters of her name and relate them as an anagram to the names of the women in the Torah that came before her. A nice wrapping is with some simple stories from the Torah. Yet we learn from the stories documented by the student of the Ari, Rabbi Chaim Vital, that many times the Ari would tell him things about stones or grass or trees as they walked and talked about around Bach. When Rabbi Chaim would check on the information related to him as to why that person needed to reincarnate into the inanimate object, he found that the Ari related information that was true, and which the Ari could have no way of knowing since he came from Egypt and only lived in Sfat a short time. He lived in Sfat a short time before he died. Thus, we again learn that the tools of Kabbalah work at a level beyond logic and normal understanding. Yet they work for those people willing to leave their ego and their logic behind. What can we learn from this new insight into the souls of Levan, Bilam, and Nabal? We learn that there are no negative souls. Please mute your phone by pressing *6. Thank you. We learn there are no negative souls, only souls doing actions that need to be corrected, making tikkun. Each cycle of life gives each of us opportunities to grow into a righteous person. And each of us will eventually become righteous, just as the evil Levan, Bilam, Nabal did so. This is a teaching of the Zohar and of the Talmud. I'm continuing with my own commentary. The name Levan, Bilam, Nabal is hinting at the concept of the chain of souls. A complete chain of souls listing would be interesting, but not helpful, because when someone does not complete their tikkun in 3 lifetimes, they are then split into 6 different people and start over. Thus, there are only 3 in this chain of souls listing. Also, please note this splitting into six sparks is what accounts for the increase in the population of the world. We also learn that there is no difference between the soul of a Jewish person and the soul of a non-Jewish person. Each one will eventually become a Jew, either by choosing to convert or by coming into the Jewish life in order to achieve his correction. We also learn that not all of the lost tribes need convert to Judaism. Some will earn the merit to become Jewish in their next incarnation. Some will just become a spiritual person, and as a spiritual person inherit their birthright, the land of Israel. Remember, the land of Israel belongs to all 12 tribes, not just the tribes from the country called Judea, Jews. And I did not write what I'm about to say. It's a commentary on this whole essay. And that is that Levan, his initial incarnation into a stone, but then he moved from the stone into grass. And then he moved from the grass into the golden calf. That's what his great-grandsons, who are known as the heir of Rav because they were magicians, and this is all from the Zohar. So Levan, the soul of Levan moved into the golden calf and activated the golden calf and acted as the idol to replace Moshe, as was desired by many of the children of Israel, not wanting to have a direct connection to Hashem themselves. When Moses came down from the mountain and melted the golden calf, that freed Levan, and then he reincarnated, as this essay said, I believe it said it went to Barzillai. Before we start reading chapter 5, which types of reincarnation and Ibor, the pregnant type of reincarnation, does anyone have any questions on what I've just read and described? Chapter 5, section 1, types of reincarnation and Ibor. There are two types of reincarnation, Gilgulim, and there are two types of Ibor. And just to remind you, incarnation, or Gilgulim, is when a soul is incarnated into a body, and it's there until the body dies. Whereas an Ibor is a soul that comes after the child, the body is born and the soul incarnates into it, the Ibor comes to assist that soul into some aspect of their tikkun, and that's referred to as a pregnancy, an Ibor. That soul can either stay or leave, meaning stay in the body until it dies, or it can leave when it's purpose of being in that body is no longer needed. And I believe we discussed that in chapter 3, but it could have been chapter 2. The first type of Gilgul occurs when a single nefesh, the lowest level of soul, enters the body of a person at the time of birth. The second type is also possible. This is where two nefeshes or two nefeshot may reincarnate together. And this is also at the time of birth. This is called a double Gilgul. It was explained in the previous chapter and in other places. both these nefeshot, these double gilgulim, reincarnate and come into the world together when the person's body is born. They do not separate until death. They are called one nefesh. As one, they suffer the pain and punishments that are inflicted on the body throughout its lifetime, as well as the pain of death. An Ibur, however, does not occur at birth, as we explained earlier, and there are two types. The first occurs for the benefit of the righteous Tzaddik himself, who enters a person to complete himself with something that was missing to him, the Tzaddik. The second type is for the sake of the host person, to assist him with Torah and mitzvot. Thus, Gilgul takes place at the time of birth, and the two types are one nefesh reincarnating into a body, and two nefeshes reincarnating into the body, called a double Gilgul. And the two types of Ibur are, not one, the soul of a righteous Tzaddik comes into a person because the Tzaddik himself is missing some tikkun, meaning some action, generally a mitzvah that he has not yet completed in his journeys of all of his lifetimes. This Ibur is for the benefit of the Tzaddik itself. The second Ibur is for the benefit of the host person. The soul of the Tzaddik has only come to assist the host person. An Ibur does not take place at the time of birth, as the Rav will explain now. Then he will go on to further clarify some aspects of Ibur. The soul of the Tzaddik enters and spreads throughout the entire body, just like the person's own nefesh. When he, the soul of the Tzaddik, comes for his own sake, then he does not enter the person until he is at least 13 years old and one day. At that time, the host person becomes obligated to Torah and mitzvot. In this way, he, the Tzaddik, can also rectify himself through this person, and that is why he does not enter before this time, only after the obligation of mitzvot has taken effect. At that time, the soul of the Tzaddik enters and spreads throughout the entire body, just like the person's own nefesh. The two of them suffer all bodily pain together and equally. It remains there for a set time to rectify and complete that which it needs. Then it leaves while the person is still alive and returns to its place above in the Garden of Eden. This completes the description here of the first type of Ibur, where the soul of a Tzaddik comes for its own benefit to complete some tikkun that was missing to it. The Rav has added here that since the soul of the Tzaddik is coming for itself, even though it is coming as an Ibur, it also suffers the pains of bodily existence. It gains the merits of the Torah and mitzvot performed while it resides in that body. It does not suffer the obligations of any sins that may be committed during its residence in the body, as we have learned previously. It only comes when the host is obligated on Torah and mitzvot, and it leaves when it has finished with its own tikkun. My commentary. What is being hinted to here is a length of time that the Tzaddik soul needs to remain in the physical world. Why this must be, I am not sure. Yet there are many stories of a soul that came to be born to a couple who could not have children. Then after many years, the child is born and leaves at a young age. Many times the tzaddik, the teacher, the rav for that couple, tells them that this soul came for a few years on earth and that they were chosen to be the parents due to their merit. The second type of ibur comes in order to help the host perform Torah and mitzvot. In the second type of ibur discussed now, the soul of the tzaddik comes for the benefit of the host and does not arrive until the age of 13 years and a day. It comes in order to help the host perform Torah and mitzvot. 13 years and a day is a time when that assistance becomes possible, becomes useful. However, when the soul of the tzaddik comes for the sake of the person and not for himself, then it comes of its own volition and not by coercion. Therefore, it is not forced to suffer any bodily pain at all, and it does not feel whatsoever the suffering nor the afflictions that come upon the host's body. Furthermore, if he is pleased with the host's person, then he remains, and if not, then he leaves. As it says, leave the tents of these evil people. That's the end of section one. Does anyone have any questions? Four souls, one person is section two of chapter five. And the translator has changed from, I believe his name was Shabtai, Shabtai Tyser, and what happened is he fell ill, and there was a long period of time in the publication of this material until they found somebody who was capable of translating the balance of it, and his name is Yitzhak Bar Chaim. So as we start section two, the Rav will now continue with the discussion of the phenomenon of more than one nefesh in one body. We will now further clarify the subject that we began previously. The verse says, visit the sins of the fathers on the children for three or four generations. This is a part of the Esther Dibrot from the book of Shmot. This means that up to the three reincarnating nefeshot can reincarnate with a new nefesh together in one body at birth. This makes for a total of four nefeshes at one time, and this is the secret of four. The secret of three is that, as we discussed earlier tonight, that a soul can incarnate, a nefesh can incarnate, and has three different incarnations to attempt and to complete his tikkun. And if he doesn't, he splits into six sparks. Whereas the four, which we don't understand, why would it be three and why would it be four? The four is a different discussion, that there's a possibility that four different nefeshes come into the body at birth. Three have reincarnated from previous incarnations, and one is a new nefesh. And the verse reads, visit the sins of the fathers on the children for three and four generations. The esoteric meaning of the word four is that it sets the maximum limit on the number of souls that can inhabit a single body at one time. Of these four, three have reincarnated from previous incarnations, and one is a new nefesh that has not been in a body beforehand. It is also the secret of the verse, two or three times with a man, which comes from the book of Job. Three nefeshes are able to reincarnate with one man. Who is this new nefesh? However, it is not possible for more than this to reincarnate at one time. However, less than this amount is possible. It is possible that one nefesh can reincarnate alone in a body, or one reincarnated nefesh with a new nefesh, or two reincarnated nefeshes by themselves can go into one body, or two reincarnated nefeshes with a new one, or three incarnated nefeshes by themselves, or three incarnated souls with a new one. However, more than this is not possible within one body. Those that are reincarnating together in a single body must all be from the same root within Adam. Know that those that are reincarnating together in a single body must all be of a single root. This is the esoteric meaning of the verse, he shall redeem the property of his brother. In other words, for one soul to redeem or help another, it must be his brother, so to speak. They must be related to each other through their soul roots. As we have learned already in Chapter 3, Section 2, souls come from different parts of Adam's spiritual body, and each particular location is a specific root from which a particular group of souls originates. This results in a resonance of or connection between some souls, which does not exist between souls from different roots. As a result, even though the first time Gilgul has not committed any of the sins of the previous Gilgulim, he will still have to cleanse the blemishes and stench that resulted from their earlier sins. This will be the case if he is from a more internal, a more primary level than the others, such as the sinews of Adam, as opposed to the flesh, which is more external. The physical and spiritual body consists of four aspects. They are listed here in order from the internal to the external, from the higher to the lower, from the primary to the secondary. The most internal is the bones with the bone marrow that is within them. Next comes the sinews. Next comes the flesh. And finally, the most external is the skin. Concerning this is the verse, you have dressed me with skin and flesh, and with bones and sinews you have covered me. A verse from Job. The Rav is using as an example the two middle aspects of the body, the sinews and the flesh. The sinews are more internal and primary than the flesh. The new soul will be responsible for the well-being of the entire group soul. In the example, the new soul comes from the aspect of the sinews, whereas the others that have reincarnated with him come from the exterior aspect of flesh. The new soul, although it has not shared in any of the sins of the others, will be responsible for the well-being of the entire group soul that has reincarnated together with him. He is responsible because he is from a more primary aspect than they are, and he has the ability to rejuvenate them. This is in order to draw life to the entire root. One of the consequences of sin and repeated blemish is that one of the limbs of the spiritual body that has been affected by the sin may become atrophied. The holiness and life force may be removed from that limb in order that the other limbs do not become blemished as a result of the sin. Rectification of the sin, therefore, allows life and energy to return to the limb and rejuvenate it. In the case discussed here, this benefits the entire group of souls of the particular root that has reincarnated together. My commentary. Why does the list of levels of body parts, skin, sinews, etc., not include anything but bones? Why does it not say heart or lungs or other body parts? This is because all the four levels come from the same body part. This means if the body part is the spleen, as an example, the bone that supports the spleen is the level listed. The sinew that supports the spleen to the bone is listed. The flesh around the spleen, including the fat cells, etc., and the skin that is outside on the body above the spleen. This is just an example. This is the end of section 2, and we don't have time to do section 3, so this will be the end of our class for tonight. Does anyone have any questions? In about an hour and a half, we will have a Zohar class, so please join us for that.
Can I ask you something?
Of course. Please do.
If a person has got more than one nefesh, do they experience it?
No, they usually do not know about the other one. Obviously on the soul level they do. On their unconscious level they do. But usually most people would not become aware of it. And only through the study of Kabbalah and through spiritual growth is that possible. Now there are people like the Ari was able to look at someone and know if there were multiple souls within them, within that body, and be able to help that person achieve that tikkun. There are many stories about the Ari like that. There are other righteous people, other tzaddikim, that we have stories like that from earlier generations and even some from later generations up until primarily the Baal Shem Tov. And since that, we have righteous people who would bless people. And maybe they knew what they were doing, or maybe they just were channels for the blessings that came out of their mouth that achieved the same results. It's not really clear because people don't speak. They don't speak about it. So it's not known. As we fall spiritually, what goes on? And in my opinion, and I've said this in many of my classes, in today's world, there are 36 tzaddikim, but they're not revealed tzaddikim. We don't have access to these people to know who they are. We may run into them based on the merit of them trying to help us and our merit that we would need to make the connection, and those people that we would run into like that might say something to us that was a blessing. And we might say amen to the blessing if we've learned that whenever you hear a blessing from someone, you should always say amen. And that might be the tikkun between the two people. But in my opinion, we don't have the caliber of souls that we had even 20 years ago. In the late 90s, during the 1990s, and as late as 2005, most, if not all, and in my opinion, all of the revealed tzaddikim have passed away. And now it's up to us to learn, to study, to reveal the light. Because we have fallen so far that this is the only tools we have. We cannot go to a revealed tzaddik again. We don't have that merit. Again, that's just my opinion.
Do the souls influence like the thoughts of a person?
Well, the question is not really clear, so let me take a step back from the question and give you your answer. Who are you? Are you your body or are you your soul? And the answer to that question is, you are your soul, but what does it mean to be a soul? And we know that we are created as a desire to receive. And the Kabbalah teaches that the word ratzon, desire, is another word. Another way to translate ratzon is to translate it as consciousness. So you are your consciousness. You're not your body, but you inhabit your body. And your body and your consciousness work together because the body has its own consciousness. And your soul has its own consciousness. The consciousness of the body is the desire to receive in order for oneself alone. The consciousness of the soul is the desire to receive in order to share. And correction is literally to teach the body to transform its desire to receive for oneself alone into a desire to receive for oneself, a desire to receive in order to share. And when you put all of those words together, and to answer your question, you are what you think. You are your consciousness. And where you think is where you are. And everything about our lives and our world is based on consciousness. And doing a mitzvah, using as an example one of the mitzvot attributed to females, because most of the people on the call are female. If I said that baking challah, when you're angry, you haven't done the mitzvah. Because the purpose of the mitzvah is to grow yourself spiritually, meaning to transform your body consciousness. You're not baking the challah for yourself, but you're baking it to share with your family or the people that will eventually eat it. That's the consciousness that you need to have when you do that mitzvah. So many people think they're baking challah and doing a mitzvah, but if they're talking to somebody on the phone or they're baking challah in a group and they're thinking about or talking about Lashon Hara or thinking about somebody that has aggravated them, the mitzvah is not performed properly. And everything needs to be corrected and redone. I don't know if I've confused you or answered your question.
Mm. I guess I'm just wondering, when you have like three other souls with you, are they influencing you or they're just passive?
Well, they definitely are influencing you because they're brothers and sisters of you. They're brothers. I mean, they come from the same part of Adam. And they're in you, that body, so that the actions that the body does is influenced by the three souls. Do they have to agree that they're doing, that they're teaching the body to do this particular mitzvah or this particular good deed or this particular action? You know, we have many people, and we call them in modern terms schizophrenics. These are just multiple souls that are not working together.
I think that's what I was wondering.
So, but for the most part, multiple souls do work together.
Mm-hmm.
I heard one person who I don't have a lot of confidence at his spiritual level, but what he essentially said was that he had come into this world along with a more elevated soul, so that elevated soul could abuse him and cause him to do things that put him into a lot of hot water. So, and he had agreed before he came into this body that was going the way he could achieve his tikkun. And all of what he said it has a basis in what I have studied about reincarnation. I just don't have the confidence that he was do what he was talking about as being truth. I think it was what he read and then just said, well, that must be what I'm going through.
So I was trying to be like, you know, you can go through a period where you hear in your head, you should be strict, and then you hear it also in your head, no, you should be kind. And you go through this kind of back and forth till you decide which way you're going to go. Is that just coming from you, or is it possible that you've got two different, different souls to see things differently?
Rather than say it's from reincarnation that way, although it's possible, I would describe it as that's the energy of the astrological sign of Libra. That if you look at your chart, you would probably see that back and forth is why the Libra can't make a decision. And it just, I'm not just talking about the sun sign, because you have 12 aspects to your astrological sign, your astrological chart. And that's the way I would describe it, rather than say the two souls are going back and forth. But it's very possible.
Uh-huh.
Are there any other questions? I hope everyone has a beautiful evening. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom.